I'm going to read a familiar passage in Scripture that will explain the title of my message, which is The Wise Men and the Fool. Now, when I say the wise men and the fool, you probably already got a picture of what I'm going to talk about. But here is the passage from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And of course, this is not the whole story, but it would be much longer if I read it. So here is 12 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Or route, whichever it is. Route or route. Okay. Well, anyway, this passage has an illustration in it. You know, the Bible is filled with illustrations about wisdom and foolishness. A wise person and a foolish person. And so this is a great illustration. This is a major illustration of magi who are wise, their wisdom of strong faith with little to go on. They don't have a lot of evidence. They don't have a lot of clues. But they have just a little bit to go on, and they put strong faith in it. Contrasted with a foolish king who had lots to go on, but had the wrong faith. The wrong faith. Both of these are faith responses that they made to the coming Messiah. And our faith response to Christ identifies us as either wise or foolish. So what made the Magi wise and the king, Herod, foolish? Well, let's look at how, first of all, the wise men earnestly pursued clues that were obscure. They were not strong clues, but they were just clues that were obscure. These men lived far away from the Jews and their religion. And they didn't know the God of the Bible that well. I don't know if they knew him at all. They had an obscure knowledge of God. These were strangers to God's Word. And they were practicing arts, magical arts, and astrological arts that were forbidden by God. And you say, wow. And yet God revealed something, or they sought these clues? Yes. They left their pagan realms to pursue this baby that the stars had announced, that the heavens had announced. Maybe they did have a dream. I don't know. I like this quote again. I'm going to quote it again. "Go confidently in the direction of your dreams." They had a dream, and they followed it through. So We also live far away. How do we live far away? All fall short of the glory of God. We do. We sin and we fall short of the glory of God. So we live far away too. How does God deal with those who are seeking Him though? We know that because we see how He dealt with the wise men. He kept leading them on and drawing them and giving them more information so that they would follow Him. Well, their faith in these mere clues, it often is like sometimes there's God speaks to us in obscure ways, maybe through dreams. And I want to read a poem that's a very beautiful Christmas poem about dreams. It's called The Miracle Dreams, and I think you'll like it. That night, when in Judean skies the mystic star dispensed her light, a blind man moved amid his sleep and dreamed that he had sight. That night, when shepherds heard the song of hosts angelic choiring near, a deaf man stirred in slumber's spell and dreamed that he could hear. That night, when in the cattle stall slept child and mother, cheek by jowl, a cripple turned his twisted limbs and dreamed that he was whole. That night, when o'er the newborn babe the tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night, when to the mother's breast the little king was held secure, a harlot slept a happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure. That night, when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. Aren't those wonderful dreams? But for those living in those situations, they're obscure dreams, but they have a faith that they can hold on to. And sometimes God leads us in obscure ways so that we will reach out and hold on in faith. Well, they might have had dreams. They saw the star and so on. But how did they know about that star? Well, there was an Old Testament prophet, an ancient prophet named Balaam. He was a Gentile. He was a seer. Later on, they called them prophets. But he was like a clairvoyant. Okay? So he didn't really know God that well, like Abraham did. He was a Gentile. And in Numbers 24, he gave a prophecy that's a Christmas prophecy, an Advent prophecy. Here's what he said. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall arise out of Israel. Now that was a vague, ancient prophecy, but the wise men, the Magi, might have known that. If they did, it was not much to go on. But even if it was not much to go on, it launched them on a bold quest to find this king. Now they were so convinced on that small amount of information, they were so convinced that they even got together and brought birthday gifts for this newborn king. And often we focus on those birthday gifts and gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they all had symbolic meaning, and we focus on those gifts. But they got a gift themselves. The privilege of kneeling before the God incarnate. Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate. And it probably changed their lives. Someone was mentioning in the last service that what happened to them afterwards? Did they continue on? And it's interesting that Lew Wallace, when he wrote the novel Ben-Hur, he does have the wise men in that story, or one of the wise men that is continuing growing older and gets to see Jesus grown up. That's interesting. That's just fiction. But you think about that. It probably changed their lives. And T.S. Eliot thought about that. And he wrote a very much more realistic poem that I think is a blessing. And I'm going to read it to you, or I'm going to read parts of it. It's called The Journey of the Magi. It's very realistic and down to earth. But it has what changed in them. Listen to this. Here's how this one person described it, one of the Magi. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it, with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. All this was a long time ago, I remember. And I would do it again, but set down this. Were we all led that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I would be glad of another death. Great words. I love that. But even wise men, even magi, can make mistakes, and they did. In their reasoning, they turned from the star to think, where would a king be born? And logically, Jerusalem. So that's where they went. And their little detour cost a village of children, of little infants and toddlers, their lives. We make mistakes too when we get sidetracked from God's leadings, and maybe we listen to common sense voices that still sing in our ears saying, this is all folly, as T.S. Eliot wrote it there. But when they did find Jesus, who they were seeking, they bowed down, it says, and worshipped Him. These ancient philosophical scholars made a wise faith response by placing their trust in these obscure clues, this divine bit of divine revelation. But clearer evidence we have. I mean, we have clearer evidence leads us to worship the King, and yet still many ask, they ask this question, who knows who this Jewish carpenter really was? Well, the Bible says that he's God's Son, born of the Virgin Mary. And we have much more information than the wise men or the Magi had. And yet their bold example confirms the truth that our response to Christ identifies us as either wise or foolish. These wise men pursued obscure clues, but a foolish king stubbornly resisted the obvious truth. Herod had greater access to truth. He was surrounded by a group of Jewish scholars who gave him the correct biblical information. He had it right. And then he trusted in what they said. He trusted their Bible knowledge about where the Christ was to be born. They knew Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. And yet, they weren't looking for Him. Even though they had real good, clear information, the Jewish scholars were not looking for the Messiah. They were not watching for Him. And the Magi, who had little information, were searching for Him. Well, news of the Messiah worried Herod because he thought Christ was His kingdom was jeopardized by this new king coming. But if he believed in God, he believed the prophecies, but he didn't really believe in God. Because his response was what? To destroy those children in Bethlehem. He had them massacred, so that he could get rid of this Messiah, this reign of a new king. And most people who try to undermine their knowledge, the knowledge that the Bible gives us of Christ, and say, oh, he really didn't exist, or he wasn't who he said he was, he was just a man. And they try to undermine what the Bible says of him. They have the same motive as Herod. Because what if God does show up through Christ? What if God really did show up? Well, then it's logical what I've got to do is I've got to accept his reign as king and surrender my own way of thinking and my own way of living and follow Christ. Well, that's what Christians do. But unbelievers don't when they hear about Christ. All responses to Christ are either wise or foolish. And some might call us foolish dreamers for thinking or believing that God became a human being to save us. He became a human being to fulfill Old Testament prophecies that are obscure and vague and not many of them. And there actually are a lot of them, but they're very, very mystical. Sometimes hard to figure out. But God-given dreams are never too good to be true. They're never too good to be true. In fact, his divine love that brought us salvation by the cross of, and the resurrection of Christ and saved us from sin and death, that salvation and the love behind it is too good not to be true. You see, the Magi put their faith in the dream, and the dream materialized, didn't it? They continued to wisely heed their dreams. And in verse 12, it says that they dreamed of a divine warning that they were not to go back to Herod. It was a threat if they went back to Herod. And so they returned, it says, by another route. Yes, theirs was another route, another path than the foolish path taken by Herod. They have an example of faith response that we need to follow. So that we can also have that same faith response visible to others and perhaps lead other dream-hungry people in this world to bow down and worship at the manger, the mystery of Advent. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love, your watch care over us. Thank you for the example of the wise men that will forever be to us an example of faith, the proper faith response to the coming Messiah. Bless us now through this Advent season and help us, Lord, to take our faith and make it real by sharing it with others. The joy, the peace, the hope, and the faith to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.